Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at some of the work of John Ford, a prolific Hollywood director and a legend. I hope you enjoy the show. John Ford, the director, is synonymous with the Western and is almost always thought of in connection with actor John Wayne. It's true that some of his finest films starred Wayne and were Westerns, but his body of work includes many other genres of film and with many other fine actors. Ford was very good with his actors and inspired great work from John Wayne, which is why Wayne liked to work for him. Another actor who did great work with Ford was Henry Fonda. The Grapes of Wrath from 1940 was an adaptation of a John Steinbeck novel, and Fonda is great as Tom Joad, the paroled son in an Oklahoma family who leave the Dust Bowl behind after their farm is repossessed by the bank, and they join many other families in a migration west to California. It's their promised land and where they hope to find salvation, but things don't turn out quite how they imagined, and the film is an excellent version of the controversial book. Steinbeck, the author, was over the moon with Fonda's portrayal of Tom Joad, but the film fell foul of the production code and various changes had to be made before it could be released. Ford won an Oscar for Best Director for this film and followed it up with another the following year for How Green Was My Valley. Apparently, The Grapes of Wrath was one of the few American films released in the then USSR, reason being they thought it adequately showed the breakdown of capitalist ideology.
Treated this away.
Another actor who benefited from Ford's direction was Edward G. Robinson in The Whole Town's Talking from 1935. Edward G. plays a mild-mannered office clerk who bears a striking resemblance to Killer Mannion, public enemy number one, who has broken out of prison. He plays both roles and is superb. This film has a lot of humour, and Ford handles it with relish. Edward G. didn't make many comedies, but had a gift for it with a great sense of timing. It was written by W.R. Burnett, who wrote Edward G.'s big hit Little Caesar, and then later High Sierra with Humphrey Bogart. This film deserves to be better known. Highly enjoyable. Another actor Ford worked well with was Victor McLaglen, and in The Lost Patrol in 1934, McLaglen plays the lead sergeant in a patrol that gets lost in the desert in North Africa during wartime. This is a moody, dark film about impending death, which lurks around the patrol day and night and takes the form of just a few Arab bandits, rarely seen. Boris Karloff plays a soldier obsessed with fate and religion, and his performance was ridiculed as being too over the top, but Ford wanted it that way as a stark contrast to the rest of the film. McLaglen is great trying to keep it all together. It's an interesting film and quite poetic. You may recognise the main title's music, as Max Steiner, the composer, reused it in Casablanca 8 years later. A couple of years earlier, Ford worked with Wallace Beery in Flesh, a great movie about a German ex-wrestler turned waiter who falls for an ex-con down on her luck. Then her ex-partner turns up, played by the great Ricardo Cortez, and it gets interesting. Karen Morley plays the mole just right, and you can't help feeling for the gullible Pollock Eye, played by Wallace Beery, as he gets taken for a ride. This film is early, but shows Ford's skill at developing characters just right. It's pre-code, and so is racy into the bargain.
Du liegst mir im Herzen, du liegst mir im Sinn. Du machst mir viel Schmerzen, weiß nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. Ja, 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 weiß nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. So, so, wie ich dich liebe, so. Liebe auch mich, die zärtlichsten Triebe fühle ich ewig für dich. Ja, 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 fühle ich ewig für dich. Doch, doch, darf ich dir trauen, dir, dir, mit leichtem Sinn. Du, du kannst auf mich bauen, weiß nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. Ja, 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 weiß nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. Wenn in der Ferne mir dein Bild erscheint, dann wünsch ich so gerne, dass uns die Liebe vereint. Ja, 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 ja,
was uns die Liebe vereint.
Of course, I don't wish to ignore Ford's work with John Wayne, and one of their best together must be The Quiet Man from 1952. Wayne plays an ex-boxer from America who returns to where he grew up in rural Ireland. He soon falls for Maureen O'Hara, whose brother, played excellently by Victor McLaglen, tries to put out the romance. Wayne shows just the right amount of grace and pose throughout, and McLaglen is perfect to provide some humour. The only thing I question about it is the sentimentality Ford injects. He gained his until now unsurpassed fourth Oscar for Best Director. At first, Republic Pictures refused to make The Quiet Man when it was pitched to them, but agreed on condition that Ford, Wayne and O'Hara made a Western together first, which was, of course, Rio Grande. It was the third in Ford's trilogy of cavalry Westerns and is a fine film. Wayne plays Colonel York at a remote fort in the West. He learns his son has been thrown out of officer training college for failing mathematics, and he's enlisted as a private and turns up at York's outpost. Then his estranged wife, Maureen O'Hara, shows up intent on taking the boy home. As well as all this, Wayne has to deal with Apaches on the warpath. Victor McLaglen plays, of course, the Sergeant Major.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen, across the ocean wild and wide, to where your heart has ever been since first you were my blushing bride. The roses all have left your cheek. I've watched them fade away and die. Your voice is sad whene'er you speak, and tears be dim your loving eyes. Oh, I will take you back, Kathleen, to where your heart will feel no pain, and when fields are fresh and green, I'll take you to your home again.
The two earlier cavalry westerns were also fine pictures. The first, Fort Apache, had Henry Fonda playing a character based on General Custer of Little Bighorn fame. He's been sent to a desolate fort by the War Office with his daughter to assume command from Wayne. Henry Fonda plays against type in this film and is outstanding as the obsessive commander who won't take advice from his officers. Of course, it all ends up in tears. Victor McLaglen is again the swashbuckling Sergeant Major. What I prefer about Fort Apache is the lack of sentimentality and the genuine desire of Ford to tell it like it was, including the way the Indians were taken advantage of by the profiteering trading posts set up by the government, giving them bad food and whiskey instead of blankets.
Well then, Genevieve, I'd give the world to live again the lonely past. The rose of youth was dew impearled, but now it withers in the blast. I see thy face in every dream, my waking thoughts are all of thee. Thy glance is in the starry beam that falls along the summer sea. Oh, Genevieve, the years may come, the years may go, but still the hand of memory weaves the blissful dreams of old. ago.
In Young Mr. Lincoln from 1939, Henry Fonda plays the young greenhorn lawyer called Abraham Lincoln as he defends two brothers accused of a murder. Fonda had a false nose for this role and looks remarkably like Jake Gyllenhaal. He also wore high boots to increase his height. Many of Ford's films were scripted by Dudley Nichols, but this one by Lamar Trotti is a delight. As Lincoln charms his way through the courtroom with anecdotes and observations, the trial was based upon an actual trial Lincoln defended before he ran for Senate.
Good, but one of her legs was made of wood. Her hair was false and her teeth was too, and there wasn't much for me to do.
Turkey in the straw,
a turkey in the hay,
a turkey in the straw.
What did you say?
Hey, roll them, twist them up a high at the claw. Hit it up a tune called Turkey in the Straw. Says I'm just like a goose. Strike you snooze to beat the deuce. She says, what's the use to chew that snooze when you got to spit out most of the juice? A turkey in the straw, a turkey in the grass, a turkey in the straw. I get a kick out of this. Roll them, twist them up a high up like a haw. Hit it up a tune called Turkey in the Straw.
Another fine film John Ford made with Henry Fonda was The Fugitive in 1947. This film has a great cast with Leo Carrillo, J. Carroll Nash, Pedro Almendarez, Dolores del Rio and Ward Bond. It looks fabulous, courtesy of Gabriel Figueroa, who worked with Luis Buñuel later on. And this film was Ford's personal favourite. I can understand why. The atmosphere of Mexico and the locations are just right. We follow the plight of the last priest in Mexico, who evades the law during President Plutarco Calles's rule. Calles wanted to suppress the influence of the Catholic Church in Mexico in the 1920s and tried to kill all the priests. This is based on a Graham Greene book and really is a visual feast.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pallid lips of a youth who lay on the bloody ground at the close of day. Oh, bury me not. And his voice failed there, but we took no heed to his dying prayer. In a narrow grave, just 6 by 3, we buried him there on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free, where there's not a soul that will care for me. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie.
There's one other Western Ford made with John Wayne I'd like to mention, The Horse Soldiers from 1958. William Holden also stars with Constance Towers. It's set during the Civil War, and Wayne takes a force deep into the South's territory to destroy a vital supply point. Wayne is great as he deals with all the complications as they arise, and his acting is right up there. There's very little sentiment, which I find is one of Ford's weaknesses. The ending of the film, which I like, is different from what was planned. Fred Kennedy, veteran stuntman who had worked with Ford many times, died during the filming of the final battle scene, and John Ford decided to move the whole production back to Hollywood and lost interest in the planned ending.
We are a band of brothers and native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasure, blood and toil. And when our hats were threatened, the cry rose near and far, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
As long as the Union was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind we were and just. But now in northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we'll hoist on high the bonny blue flag that bears a single star.
Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star.
First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand, then came Alabama and took her by the hand. Next quickly Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, all raised on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah.
Valor gather around the banner of the right. Texas and for Louisiana have joined us in the fight. Davis, Earl of it, President, and Stevens, statesmen are now rally behind the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
Hurrah, hurrah, southern rights, hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
To brave Virginia, the old Dominion state, with the young Confederacy at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, gamble. Now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonnet and flag that bears a single star.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Then cheer, boys, cheer, and raise a joyous shout. For Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the Bonnie Blue flag has grown to be 11.
Hurrah! Hurrah! For Southern rights, hurrah!
And here's to our Confederacy, strong we are and brave. Like patriots of old, we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer, cheer for that bonnie blue flag, it bears a single star.
Hurrah! Hurrah! For Southern rights, hurrah!
My last choice of John Ford's films is The Informer from 1935, starring Victor McLaglen as a member of the IRA in Dublin in 1920, who informs on his friends and is wanted for murder with a £20 reward on his head. £20 just happens to be the cost for two people to get from Dublin to America by boat. It's based on a Liam O'Flaherty novel. McLaglen is in almost every scene and deserved his Oscar for Best Actor. Ford conspired to put McLaglen off balance for the whole shoot, which was only 17 days, by keeping him drunk most of the time and scheduling shooting when McLaglen least expected it. Dudley Nichols wrote another fine script for Ford here. Ford, Nichols and McLaglen all won Oscars for their work, as well as Max Steiner for his understated score. It was a box office stiff on release due to its sombre subject matter, but after the Oscar winners were announced, it became a smash. This film was one of my mother's favourite films.
Time will but make thee poor dear. No, the heart that has truly loved never forgets, but as truly loves on to the close. As the sunflower turns on her god when he says, the same look which she turned when he
There you have it, 11 John Ford classics, and I haven't even mentioned Stagecoach, How Green Was My Valley, or The Searchers, or Lippity Valance, the first two of which won him two more Best Director Oscars, making him currently the holder of the most, four in all. As you've discovered, although he's known for his John Wayne westerns, he was much more than that. He was more interested in the individual's battle against surmounting odds to reach fulfillment, better known as the human condition. He'd arrived in Hollywood young, and by the time sound was introduced, he'd already directed over 50 movies. In fact, only one of his Oscars was for a Western, and that was Stagecoach. Orson Welles was asked who his favourite director was, and he answered, "I prefer the old masters, John Ford, John Ford, and John Ford."